ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome, welcome. We're so happy that so many of you have come from far distances to join this first of many training seminars here at ISV, and we can also perform them elsewhere. Prabhupada very much wanted that, as he, in his words, we train the others. He liked that devotees be introduced to the mood of Sankirtan and the methods. And today and this next 2 days are the beta version of the... But the devotees have been working hard, and our main objective is to have a welcoming atmosphere. And everything else, I think, will come naturally because Sankirtan itself is so electrifying and stimulating that if we're able just to get out there and go around and meet people and introduce Krishna consciousness to them, the magic will automatically happen. If there's anything we can do for you while you're visiting, please let us know. The devotees are ready to make any adjustments that you need so that you feel comfortable and happy. We want you to have a great experience here. And thank you to all the ISV devotees for all the hard work that you've put into setting up this seminar. It's made us better because we're consolidating the knowledge that we have so that we can give it to others. Tonight we're going to start with a introduction to the idea of book distribution as a service which was envisioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and for which His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada gave all his energy and his life and soul, typing with two fingers on a trunk with an old typewriter. If you can imagine being in New York City alone, he continued page after page to pile up those manuscripts, which would later become his celebrated books. And he did so throughout his sojourn with us in this world, even as he traveled the world extensively, and he would go to one end of the planet and then turn around and go to the other end, even amidst the great traveling and management, which takes more energy out of any individual than anything else in this world, because there's always some emergency somewhere to deal with. But despite all that, he went on compiling his books, writing more books, envisioning more books. Not only that, overseeing the printing and the quality of the paper, the pictures, the art is something that is unprecedented in religious spiritual works in this world. Never has there been a presentation the same as Prabhupada's, in that he got artists and he had them illustrate what the spiritual world looks like, illustrate the spiritual world. So certainly those who are connecting with the service of book distribution are making a solid connection with these great acharyas, and it's a very satisfying, rewarding service. And not only that, it's very dear to Krishna, as we'll see as we go through. How many devotees are visiting from another place? You came from out of town. Okay, let's give him a hand and welcome. Please bring out the microphones. Please make sure the microphones are out and available. Quick, quick. And we'd like to just hear really quickly if you'd just say your name and where you came from, and we'll go around and take 5 minutes to introduce all the devotees. Raise your hand if you're from out, coming visiting, and pass around the microphones.
Hare Krishna. My name is Pranahari Das, coming from Denver, Colorado.
Haribol.
Hare Krishna, Shamya Pras Das, ISKCON of Denver. Shankirtan Yagya Ki Jai.
Jai.
Madhukari Das, I came from Tennessee.
Haribo.
Bhakta Angelo, I came from Miami.
Jai.
Hare Krishna, Bhakta Chris, visiting from Govinda Center in Las Vegas.
Haribo.
Bhakta Joey, I'm coming from San Diego.
Haribo.
I'm Subhadra, and I'm from San Diego, New Govardhan.
Jai.
Hare Krishna, Veronica, also from New Govardhan, San Diego.
Haribo.
Hare Krishna, Ganpati Govindas, I'm from Hartford, Connecticut.
Jai, Hartford.
Sunit, Austin, Texas.
Jai, Sunit, Austin.
Hare Krishna, Bhakta Anshul from Toronto, Canada.
Haribo.
Hare Krishna, this is Anjan here from ISKCON, Toronto, Canada.
Haribo.
Panky Bihari Dasi from Vancouver, Canada.
Haribo. So it's an international festival we're having here. Hare Krishna. Okay.
Hare Krishna, I'm Atmanandini Devidasi from Greater Sacramento.
Haribo!
Hare Krishna, I'm Aprajita from Sacramento.
Jai!
Hare Krishna, I'm Aditi from Folsom.
Hare Krishna! Now, there are more Zafus in the back, and there's chairs. If you need to make yourself comfortable, please do so. And I'll direct your attention now to the Jumbotron. This prayer was written by Kushikrata Prabhu, seeing the fierce army of illusions put forward by the forces of Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada has released an unlimited shower of powerful arrows in the form of his books. And this weekend we've called the Sankirtan Orientation Session, or SOS, because the world needs help, and fast. We'll talk about our legacy, the four laws of book distribution. We'll have a live demonstration, a participatory demonstration, where we all get to stand up and practice how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. And after you take that, you'll be able to sell a Bhagavad Gita anywhere to anyone at any time, guaranteed, or your money back from this seminar. We'll talk about university Sankirtan, how to organize an MSF. We'll be coming up over the weekend, distributing foreign books and a few tips. So this Sampradaya means the complete gift. Giving means we grow, and many people give in this world, but they don't know what to give. In fact, we can give something that's actually harmful to other people out of ignorance. Enlightened giving, actually beneficial giving, comes through the Sampradaya, because it's the gift of Krishna, and that's what the soul is really hankering for. And this is what our Sampradaya means. It's a line of giving, of distribution to others, giving them the greatest gift by which they can actually come to their full potential. And that's what human life is meant for. And that's what every human being actually hankers for, to reach the full potential. We know there's something more, and how to reach it, people don't know. Universities are set up just so that people can go and learn more and see if they can reach their full potential. But none of them penetrate the veil of the three modes of material nature, except for transcendental knowledge. And that's what we are charged with distributing, is transcendental knowledge. So this is our legacy, and it's good work if you can get it. That is, if you can join up in this Sampradaya and become one of the great gift givers, you immediately connect yourself with all the great souls, including Srila Dwaipayana Vyasadeva, and all the other Mahatmas and Mahajans whose sole purpose in life is to give the gift of transcendental knowledge to others. So anyone can join. It's open. Srila Advaita Acharya, who is in the mood of the Sankirtan devotee, the quintessential Sankirtan devotee, was praying over and over again how to help the people of the world. He saw the degraded condition of life. Do any of you see any degradation in the world today? You've seen some? Going around. There's a lot of blood being let. There's a lot of confused people and frustrated people, and there's a lot of questions what to do next and so forth. Srila Advaita Acharya was praying to Krishna, please come down and solve this and remedy the situation. So he prayed to his Shalagram Srila. He had read a verse that he remembered later, which was that if you offer some Ganges water and Tulsi leaves to the Lord, then you purchase him. He gives himself to you. That's how kind Krishna is. And this is how you do Sankirtan. You have to pray like this. Please, let me engage in this service. Actually, there's not much more than that. If you have a sincere heart and you ask Krishna, you pray, please engage me in this service. He'll give you the intelligence. And that's what Prabhupada told the early Sankirtan leaders when they asked him. Particularly Gopavindapal told me the other day that when he asked Prabhupada, how should we teach the devotees? Prabhupada said, teach them to be sincere. Because if they're sincere and they pray to Krishna, then he pointed to his heart, the master within the heart will give them the intelligence how to do it. Everyone has their own genius. So remember Advaita Acharya, when you go on Sankirtan, just pray. That's all you really need at any time and any place is to pray hard. How should you pray? If anybody ever says, can I do anything for you? You say, pray hard. Pray for me really hard. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obliged. He appeared in Navadvip. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Have faith in this. Cultivate this knowledge. Understand that Krishna, who is beyond the three modes of material nature, appears in this world. Just by that simple acceptance, then your life becomes sublime. And very particularly, if you just accept that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which you can come to that conclusion, says Kaviraj Goswami, study his nature, study his philosophy, and decide for yourself if he is not the most magnanimous person that you've ever heard about. And we are following the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no doubt about it. This is our movement. So he has appeared in this world to Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata. And he came on a mission. Of course, that mission, whenever he comes anywhere, it has many layers of meaning. But for us today, one of the most advantageous aspects of his appearance is that he came with a mission, and we can join that mission. And what was the mission? It's very simple, two parts. The first part is chant Hare Krishna. Everyone please say, chant Hare Krishna. If anybody has any problem, in the old days, we used to just say, yeah, I got a sore throat. I just lost all my money. Okay, that's it. And you'll notice if you read Prabhupada's letters, one to Jayananda, he wrote back to him. We don't have the letter he wrote to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada wrote back to him. He said, it's the same old advice. Chant Hare Krishna. It works. It's actually the highest advice one can give, and it's the highest thing one can teach others. Chant Hare Krishna. And the second part is teach others. What is the second part?
Teach others.
And what's the first part?
Chant Hare Krishna.
And what's the second part?
Teach others.
And what's the second part?
Teach others.
What's the second part?
Jesus.
Second part?
Jesus.
Second part?
Jesus.
First part?
Jesus.
Second part?
Jesus.
First part?
Jesus.
First and second part?
Jesus.
Now, if you walk out of here afterwards, somebody grabs you by the arm and says, what's that guy talking about in there? You'll say?
Jesus.
That's it. It's a simple process, and it's a simple movement. We're chanting Hare Krishna, teach others. It's as deep as the ocean. the topic of chanting Hare Krishna and teaching others, and that's all available through the extensive literatures that we're presenting. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda opened a marketplace of the holy name. Marketplace means you got to put some thought into it. Marketing is a science. When you want to market something, you really have to have some impetus. Besides just making money, you got to believe in the product. And you have to come up with all kinds of schemes in order to make it available to other people. Marketing is half art, half science. And that's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda came to do. They came to do a little marketing. Every town and village, that's how widely they want to spread the product. Apple now has the Apple Watch. How far do they want it to go? Every town and village. And what are they doing? They're sitting, spending thousands of hours figuring out how to get the Apple Watch on everybody's arm everywhere. And we're sitting in rooms everywhere figuring out how to get the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam into every house in the world. Can we do it? Where did Steve Jobs start? He started in a garage. Where did Prabhupada start? In a little dusty room in Vrindavan. And then he thought, how to do this? And he said, if you don't know how to do something, then keep praying, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? Praying what?
How can I do? How can I do? How can I do?
And step by step, the Apple Corporation grew from a dusty little garage into a little warehouse, and now it's the biggest company in the world, most profitable. Anyone can do this. Anyone can spread to every town and village if one simply puts one's mind to it and makes the steps. So that's our goal, and that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's marketing policy, every town and village. So Lord Chaitanya's movement became hidden for some time. This can happen. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great Acharya, renewed the marketplace of the holy name, and he came out with a scheme so that people everywhere could participate. He was the sweeper, by the way, in the scheme of all the brokers and bank tellers and all the people involved in the marketing process. He named himself as the sweeper of the marketplace, which gives you an indication of the attitude one has to have to enter into this greatest of all marketing programs. And that is, one should be very, very humble and appreciate the fact that we have this opportunity. Surabhi Kunj, he opened the marketplace of the holy name and pronounced it open and began to spread it all over the world. Thus began the concept and the structure that made it actually conceivable that the Krishna consciousness movement and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could be spread all over the world. He prayed for a ray of Vishnu. Again, praying is the answer. And he predicted soon a personality would appear. Both things came to fruition. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, the great pure devotees, were keeping the vibration of the pure name going. And soon the ray of Vishnu that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had prayed for appeared. And he made the marketplace of the holy name spread all over the world, Burma. He sent a delegation to England. And he gave this immortal command to our Srila Prabhupada, who had asked him in the holiest place, Sri Radhakund, how can I serve you? What should I do? His answer, if you ever get money, print books. If you ever get money,
print books.
So, it sounds like a very simple command, and it is, but there's a world behind it, and one that we can join in with. Srila Prabhupada then put his full attention into fulfilling that instruction. You can see one of the books in his hand he brought to the United States. Even before he got to the United States, a year before he came here and set foot on the United States soil, his books had arrived previously. How did they arrive? They were at the Library of Congress in New Delhi, where he put them, and they dispersed them to the New York Public Library on 82nd Street. And when Prabhupada arrived in New York City alone, his entertainment was taking 3 bus transfers to go to the New York Public Library to visit his books. Brahmananda told me recently. He said that's what Prabhupada did for entertainment. He would get on the bus, 3 different buses, go uptown to the New York Public Library, go in and look at his books. They had arrived a year before he did those books. He brought with him several hundred sets of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And here's what it said. It said 60 volumes of elaborate English version. At the time, he only had 3 books. And he had no money. He had no means, but he was thinking 60. And this is also how to advance the Sankirtan movement. Get a vision, get a plan, and incrementally make improvements until one hits the mark. And that's what Prabhupada did. And this was his first flyer to advertise his books. And he also advertised, this is written at the very bottom, all over the world for scientific knowledge. All over the world, he's all alone. He has no money. How will it happen? It happens by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And we find this over and over again. If we just depend on Lord Chaitanya, and we have the desire to fulfill his order, he will magically make it happen. Prabhupada's plan, and this is to print books to inject the movement into the masses of people all over the world. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world. So kindly help me. This is my request. At one point, Prabhupada called this his transcendental plot. His transcendental plot was that simply by selling books, there'll be sufficient money so that we can fund the expansion of the Krishna conscious movement all over the world. And that's exactly what happened. Prabhupada printed books, and 50% of the profits went into what we now see around the world, the original temples, Bombay and Vrindavan, Mayapur, and so forth, and hundreds of other projects. I have a list as long as my arm that I just compiled in the book I'm writing of all the projects that Prabhupada funded, millions of dollars, and it came from book distribution from various places all over the world. Now this request, so kindly help me, is particularly profound because by taking up the order of the founder Acharya and trying to fulfill that, one connects to the spiritual world. Krishna says, there's no one more dear to me than that person who teaches Bhagavad Gita. That's a nice meditation, isn't it? To remember that. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, become a spiritual master. Try to liberate everyone in this land. Come to the mark. Move up. Do what you can to stay in a position so you can teach others about Krishna consciousness. This will be good for you and good for everyone else. And here's the very powerful statement Prabhupada makes in the Srimad Bhagavatam in a purport, which practically sustains me. Now, Prabhupada mentioned when he came to America, he was thinking that if I just follow the order of my spiritual master and depend on him and Krishna, then everything will come out successful. And that's what happened, isn't it? And this particular statement always inspires me, and I'll read it out loud. The direct order of the Lord is a manifestation of his internal energy, and this particular energy is the means of seeing the Lord face to face. Please read it together. Okay, that's enough. So the point is that just by taking the order and trying, and if anybody comes in the room, somebody please make sure they have a nice seat to sit on. Thank you. You'll immediately connect to the spiritual world, and it means that you'll come to see the Lord face to face by following the order. Not only that, by this attempt to give Krishna consciousness to others, you'll get superior strength and knowledge about Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada's words. How's the temperature in here? Perfect? Perfect? Nothing perfect in the material world. This is a rapid way to make spiritual advancement. If you put your meditation on how to give Krishna consciousness to others, particularly through the distribution of transcendental books, you will be perfectly aligned with Srila Prabhupada, with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, with Srila Bhaktivinoda, all the great acharyas, and with Krishna's desire, the reason that he makes this material world in the first place. And you'll rapidly make spiritual advancement. So it's a very good idea to take this up. Now here are the four laws of book distribution. Law means there's a principle, you apply the principle, you get the result every single time without exception, then it becomes a law. How can I unabashedly say this is a law? These are laws? Because they work every time in every place in every circumstance without fail. They're very simple, but these four laws have worked so perfectly well everywhere where we've introduced them. We're very confident in distributing them and labeling them as laws. So the four laws, you can read out loud, please. Correct. First is sadhana. It must be strict, serious, and sincere. To be happy in life, you have to have strict, serious, and sincere sadhana. Otherwise, life is a maze created by the mind with many, many options. And all of those options are as frustrating as the next. The only thing that's not frustrating is when one focuses one's mind on one's bhakti sadhana. That is devotional practice in which one repeatedly comes back to the well of Krishna Bhakti and chants Hare Krishna in a regulated way, hears Srimad Bhagavatam, associates with devotees, lives in a holy place, worships the deities. By doing these over and over again, we'll get a taste. This is necessary for book distribution. You have to get a taste. How much of a taste you get doesn't matter because it's absolute. If you get a mustard seed worth of taste, how big is a mustard seed? If I throw one in the room there, you'll never find it. It's so small. If you get a mustard seed worth of taste for chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, that is enough to control your senses. Not only that, there's enough there that you can distribute the overflow to everyone in your family. No, to everyone in your neighborhood. No, everyone in your whole town, the whole city, the whole Bay Area, the whole state of California. No, beyond that, the whole country, all the way into Canada and then into Mexico, then across the ocean. One mustard seed of taste will inundate the whole world. If you can get that one inspirational moment where you feel, I've contacted the Supreme by chanting His holy name. I've felt something from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which I never felt anywhere else. If you can get that one mustard seed, you have enough to distribute to others. It is so powerful. So our principle is based on getting a taste. And that comes from strict, serious, and sincere sadhana. Then you can distribute the overflow. Next law of book distribution. Let me test you. What is the first law? Your sadhana must be strong. Your first law is?
Your sadhana must be strong.
And number two is get books. Everyone say get books.
Get books.
That's correct. You can't distribute books you don't have. This is one of the laws of nature. You can't distribute books you don't have. But when you go out of your way to get books, some magic will happen in your life. There'll be a change. That as soon as you have the books, there'll be a process that takes place in your mind, inspired by Krishna from within the heart, how to distribute these books, and you'll get the intelligence to have them. And you'll feel, and you should feel, that you've transgressed the law if you meet somebody and you're not prepared to give them a book. You should feel void. You should hang your head and walk home in shame and draw all the curtains and throw yourself on your bed or your couch and lie there. And when people come home and they say, what's the matter? You say, I didn't follow the second law of book distribution. I had a perfect opportunity, but I didn't take it. And we do have a perfect opportunity. Previously, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked this earth, he had to have scribes copy out the books. It's very tedious. Actually, scribes used to make a lot of mistakes. Can you imagine sitting there for hours every day by hand writing out every single book? Sometimes they would start on one line and then they'd start the other line. I was just reading recently the history of these ancient scriptures, and they would do the same line twice. They have to start over. It's very tedious. We don't have that. We have everything we want. You just call Amazon.com or anywhere else, run a credit card. You can have anything you want tomorrow or today even, if you pay a little bit extra. But the thing that you need to get is books. Don't take them for granted. These are rare, and they're the most powerful implements of spreading Krishna consciousness in the world. Get multiple languages because they're available. And Prabhupada's method was to make sure that they go out to everyone in every country of the world so they can understand them. So the number two law is? And number one is? It's easy stuff, right? And then the third one is the one we always say twice because it's so important. And that law is? Correct. And now you may get books. The next stage and the next law, all you have to do is make sure you show them. Because living entities everywhere are looking for something. What do they want? They want some chit. They want some ananda. They want to have some connection to something that will give them some taste that is sweet. And they're not getting it. People are advertising up and down the 101 freeway. And if you take a look what they're advertising, there's advertisement for, I'm not going to go into it because it'll bring the energy down. You notice for yourself. You've seen it. People are advertising everywhere. And they are things that are not good for people. They actually draw them down into lower modes of material nature. But because they're presented in a colorful way, and because even if they're not colorful, even if they're just presented, a certain segment of the population will take them because they see them. And that's the plight of the jiva in this world. He's floating around, and whatever he sees, he develops a desire, he develops a sangha for that object, and he wants it. So our job is to show people Krishna and say, here, little jiva, over here, a little closer. Come here, gotcha. Look, see, Krishna, attractive. And you'll notice that people will walk down the street depending on their particular mode of nature. They'll become attracted. If you just show, we saw the other night in Harinam, fantastic Harinam, life-changing Harinam, wasn't it? Yes. Oh my God, it was something out from another world. There are mini festivals, what we're doing now. They're not Harinams, they're mini festivals. And I was watching, and it's the most wonderful thing to watch people come into the vortex of the mini festival and become enamored of the holy name and then be attracted to the books. And there was a man from China that Navina Nirada Prabhu saw wandering around, so he grabbed it and said, go, Luke, over here, Jiva, here, boom. Bhagavad Gita said, I'll take it. And he walked off, and now that Gita's back in China somewhere. That's how it happens, that fast. So you have to show them. And so the more you show, and that's the one we say twice. Because if that's all you do, you'll be successful. If you just think of more ways to show what you have, you'll be successful. Make it visible, jiva will take it. Here's a smart box. This is just an idea. I had this idea when I was a kid. There was this Honor Snack of America where they put little snacks out in all of these corporate areas, and it was on the honor system. You'd put in a nickel or something like that, or a dime, and you could take a bag of chips or pretzels or something like that. And I thought, hey, we should do this with books. It's just a simple thing, but now Selva Prabhu has hundreds of them all over the Bay Area here, and people are walking in stores, and because they see them, they're taking them. Selva, yes? Are they taking some? How many locations? 124 locations right now. Yeah?
We have it in Connecticut also, in about 65 stores.
Haribo!
And we are distributing a lot of books from these smart boxes.
Very nice. And right now, isn't that as we're talking, those smart boxes are doing their job. But it's visibility. You make the visible. Here's a table. You want a little larger surface area? Find yourself a place. Put up a table. You going to get any business from that? Especially with Shivas Pandit standing there. Anybody want to come over and talk to him? But you could start your own little enterprise in some corner of the universe. And you're connected with Krishna. It's the most transcendental of all entrepreneurial endeavors in the world to set up a book table and just show the books. No one can fault you for that in the whole universe, and that's pretty rare. And people will come by and take the books. So the third law of book distribution is? Number two. Okay, here comes number four. You must organize. Because you can do a little bit of book distribution if you just apply yourself without organization. But if you organize, you can literally inundate the entire city that you live in. You can make plans and execute those plans incrementally through the power of organization so that you create a book distribution empire. That's possible. And organization's not that hard. It means you have to come together and think. And thinking takes a little bit of work. Come together and brainstorm and think and plan. And if you do that regularly and think of what's a better way to keep the books. This was our first book organization. We had books in a little room somewhere, and then we moved it to Rasika Shekhar's house and so forth. And so many others of you, the devotees in Toronto, their book room inside the temple is the Sanctum Sanctorium. If you go there, you'll find like pujari-like devotees inside there, cleaning the walls, organizing the books, no shoes in the book room. They're offering puja and incense inside, right? Isn't it? I've seen it. And all this was by organization. It was by plan. Devotees got together and they talked about it. So everything can be improved. Everything. And we follow the system called ABS, called Always Better Service. What's it called?
Always Better Service.
It means after you do something, take a look at it and see what went well and where could we make improvement. And simply make the improvement the next time. And in that way, every time you increase, you do better. And when devotees see that things are getting better, they'll want to join. When devotees see that things are about the same as they were last time, then they'll do just what they have to do to get by. And if devotees see that things are getting worse, then they quit. So make things get better through organization. It's a lot of good ideas. Now, let me ask you the four laws of book distribution again. And we'll take five reflections, just five. One thing that you heard so far that stuck in your mind that was meaningful to you. And not a Bhagavatam class, just a quick thing, because we're on a schedule.
You have a chance to join the mission.
Thank you. You have a chance to join the mission. Beautiful. Four more.
Try to get a taste, even a mustard seed's worth.
Yeah, get a taste. We call it inspirational sadhana. Go for inspirational sadhana. Pray to get a taste every time you sit down, every time you start your sadhana, pray. Please let me have that mustard seed of taste that will sustain me, that will give me what I need to spread this all over the world.
If you don't know how to do something, pray, how can I do, how can I do, how can I do?
Nice. That's Prabhupada's prayer. How can I do, how can I do? And how could he know what the outcome would be of all his endeavor to spread Krishna consciousness? anyone else would have said, this is a dire situation, but he simply went on saying, how can I do? Yes.
Book distribution is a rapid way of making spiritual advancement.
It's what?
Rapid way of making spiritual
advancement. Rapid way of making spiritual advancement. It is. It absolutely is a rapid way of making spiritual advancement for so many reasons. One is that it's very pleasing to Krishna. It's very pleasing to the acharyas. And then there are many more reasons. One is that it's a very active service. It means that you have to be up and out. And it's never the same experience as the last time you went out. You still have to pray. And the devotees now are praying because they're thinking going out tomorrow. And how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? Right? And every door that you knock on and every person that you meet, it's a unique situation and you must pray all over again. And this digs deep. It digs deep. It also teaches tolerance and so many other things. Do we have one more? Yes.
Every human being is hankering for full potential, and that is what a sampradaya legacy gives us.
Yeah, it's good work if you can get it to pass that on. And we should feel very fortunate to have this line of work that we're in. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to talk about how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. May I have a Bhagavad Gita? Is that possible? Just testing our own laws. That's pretty remarkable. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita. I asked for it and I got it. So, yeah, the Bhagavad Gita in printed form. This is a delivery system. Now, you may think, oh, there's so many other distractions nowadays, but research that I've done recently shows that this is still the number one delivery system for ideas. Although there's been a great increase in e-books, which we also have available, still the printed book is the king. And according to all the marketing research that's out there, it's going to remain the king. It carries ideas, just like if you have a pot and you have seeds in it, and you take that pot from one place to the next, the seeds go out and they start a garden. So one book is a carrier of ideas. It's a delivery system that will take the ideas from one place to the next. And this Bhagavad Gita is the king of all books, Raja Vidya. It is the perfect book. It is spoken directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we have the cherished task of distributing this book and letting the seeds spill out all over society. How to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. One thing is, when you sell books on their own merit, then you must come to a more refined state yourself. It means your sadhana has to be a little more intense, strict, serious, and sincere, because when you present on the merit of the book, you have to depend on your own purity and simply present and depend on Krishna for the result. You also have to become expert in answering people's questions and learning to zig when they zig and zag when they zag. It's like martial arts almost, if anybody's familiar with that, or any fine art or sport in which you have to learn some of the subtleties. But in the beginning, you can learn a template. And you can follow the template. This is an authorized template, and it works. I've seen complete beginners take this template that I'm going to teach and run out and sell 8 books, 10 books, 12 books on their first day just by following the template. And that's our process, Anu. Just follow. So here's how to do it. First of all, you have to go with the right attitude. When you go out, don't consider that I have to sell everyone a book, because you'll fail. Go out and consider that I'm going to make friends. I'm going to extend my devotional heart to others. And I'm going to leave everyone with a good impression. We are in the service business. We're servants. Jeev Krishna Das, A Bishwas. Korlito Adhukonai. If you consider yourself a servant, then you're in the right business, because you'll always be happy. So this is the greatest kind of service. So go out with a service attitude. Our motto is? And this makes life easy. Just pick the right fruits. Go out and look for those living entities who are open and ready to take to Krishna consciousness. They're ripe. When you go to pick fruits off the tree, you have a sense for which ones are ripe, and they come off in your hand easily. And if you find an unripe fruit, you don't grab the branch and break it off and drag it down the street. That makes fruit picking much easier, doesn't it? Because what's your job as a fruit picker? What is your job as a fruit picker? And what's your job as a book distributor? It's easy. Everyone say, it's easy. Yeah, that's right. It is easy. Here's a ripe fruit. I took this picture in New York many years ago at a Rath Yatra. This young man we met, he just walked on the scene and he was very interested in Krishna consciousness. Can you see his countenance and how nice and open he looks? Would you say ripe fruit? Yeah, he was a ripe fruit. He gave $20, took the book. Now here you go on the right. Ripe or unripe? How about that? How about that? That? This? That? This? That? This? This? That? That? That is correct. And you can tell. You have to be a gardener and go out, a fruit picker. When you see the unripe fruits coming, save yourself a little trouble. Move on to the next ripe fruit. That will make your life easy. And when you find the ripe fruits, then you can pour in as much Krishna consciousness as you like. So our mood is that we're Krishna's instruments. When you go out the door, there's a little switch. I'm going to teach you a trick behind your head. You can reach for it right now. It's right, and right above the neck. There's a switch. And your mind gets an anxiety thinking, how am I going to do this today? Am I going to sell any books? There's a way in which this, you flip this switch, you flip it down, and you turn off your brain. And you say, I'm no longer a human being. I'm just a robot. And I'm just going to go out and do my job. And I don't care what happens. And how many times I've done this, gone in anxiety, I'm going by myself. What's going to happen? I said, hold, click. I don't care. Why should I care? I'm a robot. I'm going out to do my duty. You go out as an instrument. You turn off the switch and do your duty. And don't worry what happens. And this is Krishna gives us this permission in the Bhagavad Gita. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting. Don't consider loss or gain, victory or defeat. Just be my instrument. I'll work through you. You do the best you can, and I'll do the rest. Our mood, we remain humble and hungry. If you have a humble heart, people will notice it. Living entities are called sentient. That's because they're sensitive. They can tell whether you're sincere. They can tell if you have a profit motive in your heart. It smells like somebody if they ate some spice that was coming from their pores and they walk in the room, ah! Somebody just ate some, you know, it's the G word or something like that. And so similarly, if somebody has some pride, if someone has some motive, profit motive, it comes out from the pores. So you want to be careful to remain hungry and humble. Why are we going out? Why are we going out? Yeah, we're going out for self-purification. And we're doing service for service's sake. Here's a mantra you all can say together. Yeah, don't be condescending. You save yourself. And understand that people all have a past. And they all have a connection with Krishna. And we do too. Treat people with respect. Offer kind words. Do you like that?
Yes.
Okay, try it right now. Turn to somebody, offer some kind words. Come on now, work with me. How bad did that feel? Don't you feel really bummed out right now? Okay, stop smiling. And no more niceties. That's it. Stop. From now on, just be really harsh with people. Just kidding. Be nice to people. Just offer kind words. It opens the universe. And focus on teamwork. Here we are going out in 108-degree weather in North Carolina. And we practically didn't notice because we were all working together. And whatever impressions we had in that place were baked in, that's for sure. Leave everyone with a good impression. Develop the habit of expressing sincere gratitude to people wherever you live. And Sankirtan doesn't just mean when you go out the door. It means in your house, too. It means in your ashram. It means in your immediate environment. Learn to appreciate people and express gratitude for them. As preaching means giving. It's a whole spirit of giving. And when you give, you grow. Express empathy for people. Just because we're not our bodies doesn't mean that you can't be empathetic towards people. This is the first law of customer service anyway. When we're not calculating, we're actually appreciating the fact that people are suffering in this world. It's a scary place, the material world. People are being ground up here. Be nice to them. Be nice to yourself. Be nice to your spouse. Be nice to your kids. Be empathetic that this is a rough place to live. And extend yourself in that way. And by the way, cell phones, please turn them on and turn the ringer up, because first was a free space, but after that, one ring from your cell phone and you have to buy a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we encourage you to please turn them on and turn up the ringer as loud as you can. SKP and Malini are ready to collect. It's only $250. And we really appreciate it. We really appreciate your business. Okay, so leave everyone with a good impression. Practice reflective listening. Make people feel special. At one of our seminars, we hang a sign around everyone's neck that says, "Make me feel special." If you just take this one idea, when you go out to meet people or go in with your own people, wherever you live, and you see that they have a sign around their neck that says, "Make me feel special," and that's how you treat them, your day will go a lot different than it will if you become the center of attention and you treat people harshly. Is that okay? Yes. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay. So you should also have balance in your life. The balance between service and sadhana. Because we do have demands that we have to take care of. There could be financial demands. Yes? There could be demands. If you're young, you've got to go to school. Anyone? Homework? When you get older, you have to take care of your mortgage. You have to take care of your health. There are a lot of things that you have to take care of. And it's a very demanding world. And we also have our service, which is demanding also. In a very transcendental way. So you have to balance these things. So the life of Sankirtan means to live in a balanced way. There's a couple of simple things I'll present right now that are potent and you can take with you. One is called the difference between your circle of influence and your circle of concern. There's only so much you can affect in this world. Very little, in fact. Isn't it? You can only do as much as you can do. But there's a lot of concern within the mind about doing and helping and going to other places and trying to control the outcome in many different ways. But if you cross beyond that green area into the red, which is beyond what you can actually do, you simply torture yourself. So if you stay within your circle of influence and do what you can with what you have now, then your mind intelligence will be balanced. Also, there's a saying, a place for everything and everything in its place. There are a lot of distractions in this world today. Isn't it? Or is it just me? Constant distraction. In fact, there's software now that you can buy and you put it on your computer, and then for a certain amount of time, you can shut off all networking devices so you can concentrate on what you're working on. And if you want to turn it off, you have to turn your computer off and turn it back on again. So there's a lot of things that come into our mental system, that come into our purview constantly. And this is a chart that shows how to categorize those and see if they're important and urgent, urgent and not important and not urgent, urgent and not important, not urgent and not important. This is something that you can look at and study very carefully. These two charts will actually change your life and help you to balance. So I recommend that you get a copy of both of these and you look at them very carefully. We are endeavoring to be ambassadors of goodwill. That's our job description, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. And now I'll take three reflections from the last section, something that you heard that stuck in your mind. And how is everybody now? Okay? All right. Three reflections. We're going to stand up in a minute.
I like the switch at the back and switching.
Switch in the back of your head. Yeah, you can't beat that. Okay.
Pick ripe fruits.
Pick the ripe fruits. Very good. Yeah, potent. What else?
Sankirtan starts in your own ashram, in your own community, by expressing gratitude.
Yeah, that's right. Express gratitude. Be empathetic with people. All right. Now, here's how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. Here's a few steps. Now, yes, there are many other ways that you can sell books or Bhagavad Gita, but I'm going to show you this way. It's just a template. And if you take this template and you practice it, it'll work. And then when you get good at it, you can improvise. You can shortcut it. You can do many different things with this, but first learn this basic template, and it'll serve you well. First is radar. And in the way that a policeman uses radar and shoots your car as it's moving and can tell how fast you're going and get a reading about your car and your circumstances. So in the same way, we have the same power to get a reading from people before we even talk to them and before we even meet them face to face and ask them any questions. And here's how you do it. There's power in your hand. This is a mystical power, so be careful how you use it. I'm going to teach you right now. Please hold up your right hand. Point it at somebody, and not all at me, because I can't absorb all the energy at once. And when I give you the mantra, that'll activate, there's a ray that comes out from right here. It'll bounce against your subject, and it'll come back to you, and you're going to get a reading from the person you hit with this ray. When I say three, then when I give the mantra, you repeat. Okay, are you ready? Hi.
Hi.
Okay, look around. What reading did you get? Positive? It's all ripe fruits in here. That's the problem. But if you do this anywhere, when I'm walking anywhere, I just, to everybody I say, hi. Hi, hi. Or I just hold up my hand like this. Hi, hi, hi. And you can see one person will look at me and they'll go, hi, how are you? Another person will look at me like, what are you, an axe murderer or something like that? And you get the reading right away. Some people will divert their eyes. Other people look at you and go, hey! And you can get that reading right away. So using your radar, hand power, instead of chasing people and then finding out, 5 minutes later that they're not interested in what you have to say, if you simply use a little radar and say hi and put up your hand, very friendly thing to do, you get a reading right away where what people are thinking and what their general disposition is. And that's useful information for us because we're looking for the right fruits. Next thing is to qualify. There's the great Ram Lakshan on the left-hand side. We were at San Francisco State University distributing some books. And just after using the radar and saying hi, you get a positive response, and then you can ask a qualifying question, which is, for instance, are you from, where are we going tomorrow? Are you from Pleasanton or are you from out of town? And they might say what? Okay, they say out of town. That's great. That qualifies you. What else could they say? And that's great too. That also qualifies you. So whatever they say qualifies them. Don't ask a yes or no question, but ask a this or that question as a qualification. Are you from here or out of town? And they are from out of town. Are you a student here or a teacher? I'm on the campus now. Are you a student or a teacher? Okay, you qualified. What else could they say? Are you a student or a teacher? No, they can't say no. They can only take these two choices. So they take the other choice and they'll say, okay, you're qualified. So do you understand qualification now? So if you go up and hand somebody a book without qualifying them, then they might think, why am I getting this? Why did this person walk up to me? But if they understand why they're qualified, and oftentimes when I ask the question, I say, California, where are you from? They'll say, Tennessee. Well, Tennessee, all right, now you're talking my language. We'll show you one too. And that's when I hand over the book, when they feel they have some qualification. Okay, next is to trust the hand, because sometimes their mind will say, don't do it. Bill, don't do it. But if you deal with the hand, did you see that? Watch. It practically is infallible because the hand has a mind of its own. In fact, all the senses do. But the hand's just sitting there going, give me something. That's what I do. I'm just sitting, the hand's going like, I want something now. And so if you go up and say, the guy says, Bill says no, and you go, here. And you hand it to the hand goes, okay, I'll take it. And Bill's going, no. And the hand's going, no, I want that. So put it in their hand. Make sure you hand it over. And then as you're handing it over, use a mantra. As Navina Nirada Prabhu aptly points out, often the world moves by mantra. How does the world move? Correct. Now, as you're handing the book over, you introduce it with a mantra. And here's one mantra. There are how many mantras? Many mantras. Here's one mantra that works. Books on yoga and meditation. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. Anybody here have any stress in their life? It's just me, right? Now watch again. Are you from here or out of town? Perfect. Here, we'll show you one too. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. So I'm telling him a mantra that says what's in it for him, because everyone wants to know this question. What's in it for me? So I'm telling him a benefit of the book as I'm handing it over. I'm from California. Where are you from? Denver. Great. I'll show you one too. Books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. Now, I've given him a mantra. I tell him what it means. And now anything can happen. He could reject it. He could walk away or anything. So how am I going to hold him in place? I need a hook, right? Okay. So go like this. What's that? That's your most powerful tool in all your communication skills, the question. Because, thank you very much. You can just sit there for a minute. Because a question mark is a hook. It's also a tennis racket. It puts the ball back in other people's court. And when you ask questions, you could lead the conversation. You can also hold people in place. So the person's about to run away, but if you ask a question, and here's a question. You've heard of stress before, right? That suddenly freezes the conversation. It takes it in your direction. You've heard of stress before, right? He's her distress. So I'm asking the question, I'm directing the conversation. And then my response to that is, actually, you don't look stressed at all. You look spiritual. I tell people that because they are spiritual. And I'm dealing with one spiritual being after another, and it reminds me when I'm talking to them, this is a spiritual being, and it's absolutely genuine. It really is. This is not some technique. This is actually a genuine proposition that I'm making to them. First, but you look spiritual. Your eyes look very peaceful. And then I ask another question. And what is that question? Okay. What's your secret? Everyone please say that.
What's your secret?
Turn to somebody next to you and ask them that.
What's your secret?
How did that feel being asked, what's your secret? It changes the relationship between you condescending to somebody. When somebody approaches you with a religious, spiritual book on a street corner or door to door, there is some hesitation in the heart of the recipient because they're thinking, this person is here trying to change me. And that's true. Otherwise, we wouldn't be carrying a book around. We're basically saying we have something we want to insert into your life that will make your life better than it is now. We really believe that. And we need to bring that concern down a notch because when we present to people, we don't want to be condescending, but we want to be friends with them. So when we say, what is your secret? We're actually elevating them to the position of a mentor. And we're saying, please tell me, you're a spiritual person. Tell me what's your secret. And this opens their heart and brings goodwill. What's their secret? They are into yoga. They are into monster chuck pull. They are into marijuana. These are the three choices. So... it's sattvagun, rajagun, tamagun. So now, whatever they say, at that point, we can appreciate that they're into something, and that's the point at which I take the book back. So he's got the book. Books on Yoga and Meditation shows you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right? But you look very peaceful. You don't look stressed. You look spiritual, in fact. What is your secret? He reads the Srimad Bhagavatam. And my reaction is... whatever he says, I knew you were into this. The fact, the book I'm handing out, I'm saying, my countenance, everything says, I knew you were into this. I knew we were together on this. Fantastic. Now I'm taking it back to show and tell. Show and tell is easy because I'm just going to show what's in and on the book. So I'm taking the book back, and now I'm going to show him the book. And how fast I'm going to show him? Real quick. How fast is it? I'm going to show you. Really quick. This is really quick. And the reason is because their mind is really quick. We can be on a street corner and the light will change. And like, I got to go. Why? Because the light just changed. Or I just changed my mind. Or someone can come out of the back room and say, Larry, put that down. You don't want that. And then the mind will go, oh, okay, I don't want it anymore. So you got to be really quick. So here, I'll show you really quick. And then you build some rapport and you build some... respect for the book. So there's some names on the back that you can point out, just like this. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, and... okay, everyone please say those. So if you bring up these, one of them's bound to connect. And then... open the book and say, this is from the ancient Sanskrit language, and ask them if they can read Sanskrit. Can you read this? Not really. Okay. We were just testing you. And actually, it's been translated many, many times. And you can turn to the front page. Many, many times. And out of all the different translations, this has become very popular academically. And on the front page, you'll see... USC and Georgetown University in this version. And you can point that out. USC you've heard of? Georgetown University? University of Toronto? Fantastic. Okay, and now comes the pictures. And the first picture that I like to show people is the changing bodies. So you can open to the changing bodies exhibit and say, look it, we're starting here. We all start here. We end up over here. We're just passing through. Life's like a quick journey, right? And where are you in this? Let the court show that he has indicated over here. And then you can show the next page. This relates to the verse Vidya Vinaya Sampane. The sage sees everyone equally, and you can show that, look at this, shows a self-realized person. A self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees the spirit within everyone's heart. And then you can ask him another question. You've heard of karma before, right? Only two people? Yes. And what does it mean to you? Say this mantra. What does it mean to you?
What does it mean to you?
Say it again.
What does it mean to you?
Say it again.
What does it mean to
you? Turn to somebody and say, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? It's a good way to ask this question when they say they've heard of karma. What does it mean to you? And now I want you to wind up and get ready for when they give the answer. And I'll demonstrate with Shamya Pras. He'll give me an answer. So you've heard of karma before, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
You do stuff and stuff comes back to you.
Whoa! I really like the way you put things. Okay, you ready? Now you ask me.
What does it mean to you?
I don't know. Stuff goes around and around and up and down and stuff like that. I really like the way you put things. You want to try it again? It's so fun. And that's what will happen in your presentation. You're just waiting to wind up and ask them that question when they go, whoa! And people do bring very nice explanations of karma. And 99% of the people know of karma and believe in karma. So there it is. Whoa, what a great explanation. And then, if you like, you can show them this picture of the cow with a man's head, man with a cow's head. You see here? Here's an illustration of karma. Violence breeds violence. Generosity breeds generosity. And then we can ask them, what do you do professionally? Okay, please say that.
What do you do professionally?
And what do they say? Yeah, they say, I'm a civil engineer. I'm a software engineer. Sorry, I missed that one. I am a... and I'm a dancer. Now here's a picture you'll notice in here, a very valuable picture of a yogi. So we say, really, this guy used to be a civil engineer. Really? This guy used to be a Sunday school teacher. This guy used to be a dancer. And then they, half the people say, really? They don't laugh. They say, really? And I say, no, not really. And then they laugh. And the other half of the people laugh right away. And as soon as people laugh, then you hand the book back, just like it says on the screen, and say, we don't sell it like in a store. We take a donation. We don't need the money. The reason we ask is when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down, and it makes a connection so you can enter deeply within the book. And then if they'd like to know, you can tell them how much it costs. You say most people give around $10. And then when they give the donation, then you can ask them to chant the Ma Mantra. And here's how to do that. And this is part of what you're going to do in just a minute. So pay attention to this part. You say, do you believe in the power of prayer?
Do you believe in the power of prayer?
Do you all?
Yes.
Then I'm going to teach you this beautiful prayer from the Sanskrit language that wakes up love for God in your heart. Are you ready?
Yes.
Because again, the mind can take off on them and they could decide to do something or say, go somewhere else. So are you ready? And as soon as they say, I'm ready, then I say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Now, there's no earthly reason at all that we should not distribute prasadam everywhere we go.
In fact, you should have some in your bag right now, wherever, whoever you are. You got some? Okay, good. Carry prasadam, give it out liberally wherever you are. And everyone should get some prasadam because it's Krishna in edible form, and that's something special. You eat prasadam and you become transcendentally elevated just by taking prasadam. So is there any earthly reason, this is a pop quiz, to not distribute prasadam?
No.
No, Vaisheshika, there's no earthly reason why I should not distribute prasadam. And you should also always have a means to get people's information in a quick way, either a pen and a pad or some device that you know how to do it, and collect information so you can stay in touch with people and connect them to your local system. And you should have a local system. Here we have ISKCON, ISV Connect. And you should brainstorm some system so that after you meet somebody, they get connected to a drip system and they can come closer to Krishna consciousness. And at the end, always take time to thank people. Thank you for taking your valuable time. Please say.
Thank you for taking your valuable time.
It has been a pleasure meeting you.
It's been a pleasure meeting
you. Our prime directive is? Correct. So, here's a quick word on University Sankirtan. These mantras have come from Abhrigupati Prabhu. Do you go here? Are you a student?
Yes.
He says, yeah, I'm a student. Are you a good one?
Not really.
They say, yeah, I guess so. I'm all right. You say, yeah, you look smart. Okay, let's try that. University Sankirtan, take two. You ready? This is simple and it's really beautiful. Try, say. And then you can notice something about them. I think that it's your hairstyle or something like that. But I said, like, a man shouldn't say that to a lady or something. You know, if that was the situation, I would say, oh, yeah, I know. I can tell from all the books you're carrying or something like that. So another thing he says, hey, listen, they told us to show this to deep thinkers. So what's your major? That's the next question. They say zoology. So then he says, how's this for a zoology picture? So he opens to any of the pictures. So Madhukari, what's your major?
Zoology.
No. Give another one. A different one.
Anthropology.
Anthropology. How's this for an anthropology picture, major? How's this for an economics picture? It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's funny like anything. And he's very serious, and he opens the book to the picture, and he'll show them this picture, and he'll say, how's this for a civil engineering picture? And then they kind of like look at him like, what? And then he'll say, actually, I'm just kidding. This is a book about, this show's about karma. You know, what goes around comes back around. And he says, and this is a cool picture too, it shows how we're more than just the body. And he shows the changing bodies. Then he shows, he explains how the spiritual essence continues after the body is finished. Then he turns to a picture of Prabhupada and said, this is a picture of my teacher who boarded a boat from India back in 1965. And that's it. That's his whole presentation. What's your name? Check it out. People give some donation. You're welcome to keep the book. They say how much? He says, from your heart. Do the best you can. Just keep it under 1,000. That's it. That's a simple presentation that he gives. And there's the happy students. Does it work?
Yes.
Does it flat out work?
Yes.
It flat out works. I received those lines from Bhrigupati Prabhu. I taught them to the Sankirtan devotees on their way out the door. We spent about a half an hour on the porch. They learned the lines. They went to Stanford and they sold over 4 cases of Bhagavad Gita just like that. Just following the lines. Shishi Radha Madan Mohanji Ki Jai. Okay, so now, is everyone okay?
Yes.
Now what we're going to do is an experiment in organization. And I'll explain it to you first before you do it. And that is that we're going to stand up and we're going to form lines, equal number of devotees facing one another. And don't do it yet, but when I say go, we're trying to break the world's record because it was set in Baltimore recently. The devotees got up quietly, efficiently, moved all the seats, everything out of the way, and they lined up facing each other. And here's the next part of it. One line has, everyone has to have a Bhagavad Gita in their hand. The other people you're facing have to be without a Bhagavad Gita in their hand. And so there'll be 2 rows, maybe, of devotees facing one another. Is that clear enough? Okay, so efficiently means you got to put away all the asanas, you got to stand up, you got to get in lines, and you start right now. Go. And by the way, the world's record was 90 seconds. And you've used up 10 already. That's 40 seconds. You need 2 lines facing one another. One side of the line has a book, the other side is empty-handed. That's 30 seconds. 30 seconds to beat the world record. 20. 15, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Are you all set? Okay, give yourselves a hand. You did really nice. A big hand. That's not a big hand. That's still a small hand. There you go. Okay, now, everyone make sure you're lined up with a partner. One of the partners has a book, the other one doesn't. And we're going to practice, and I'm going to remind you right now that there's several steps. The first step is radar. And let me give you one clue. When you're out distributing books, the way you stand matters. If you're holding a book like this, and people see you coming down the street, they're going to go, that guy's trying to nail me with a book. But if you stand like this, like let the world come to me, and you're a little detached, and you just look for the right fruits, hi, let them come to you. Don't advance until you get the reading. Then you'll be more successful. Be detached, okay? So first step is that you're scanning, and when you see people coming, hi. Next step is, you're going to qualify. Are you from? Or you can say, I'm from California, or wherever you're from. I'm from California. Where are you from? From Toronto, where are you from? From Tennessee, where are you from? And when they give the answer, that's a qualification. Okay, hold it. I know it's exciting, but just 1 minute. Then, when they give the answer, that qualifies them, and your countenance changes. Oh, fantastic, great. I'll show you one too. And then, I'm going to give the mantra. Here, books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. Everyone say that. Books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. Okay, and now comes the question, and the question is a? And it's also the most important punctuation mark in the entire, in any language. Because if you put a question mark in an email or a letter, people have to answer you. Otherwise, they're in big trouble. And if you don't, they don't have to answer. So remember to ask the question. That's what holds the whole thing together. As soon as you hand the book over, ask them the question, because then you're leading the conversation. Now I'm handing the book over. Books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. Question comes, you've heard of stress before, right? And now I'm going to tell him that he looks spiritual. Really, because you don't look stressed. Your eyes look very peaceful. And now another question. I'm really holding on to the conversation. What's your secret?
It's good association.
What kind of association do you get?
Like Guru Maharaj.
I knew you were into this. And now I'm taking the book back. As soon as he's told me why he's into it, I'm taking the book back. Fantastic. Great. I'm going to show you your book because I knew you were into this. And how fast am I going to show him? Really quick. I'm going to show you really quick. This is the quickest thing you've ever seen in your life. Okay, I'm going to show you really quick. And I'm holding, and someone hold this for me. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, and?
The Beatles.
They've all read this book. This is Sanskrit. Can you read Sanskrit?
No, sir.
Just testing you. It's all translated into English. It's been translated many times out of all the different versions. This has become very popular academically. You've heard of USC?
Yeah.
Georgetown University?
Yeah.
University of Toronto?
Yeah.
University of Montreal? Montreal. Okay, here it is in a nutshell. In a what?
Nutshell.
Okay. We all start here. We end up here. We're just passing through. Life's a quick journey. Where are you in all this? Let them be involved. Where are you in all this?
Oh, we're on there somewhere.
Let the record show that the defendant has indicated right here. And then I show him the next page, and I say, look, this shows a self-realized person. A self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees the spirit within everyone's heart. And now, I'm going to ask another question. This is my third question, right? So, you've heard of karma before, right?
Yeah.
And what does it mean to you?
When you do stuff and it comes back to you.
Whoa! I really like the way you put things. Here, this shows graphically, man with a cow's head, cow with a man's head. What goes around comes around, right?
Yeah.
And what do you do professionally?
I distribute books.
Look, this guy used to distribute books. And as soon as he laughs, I hand the book back. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We take a donation. We don't need the money. The reason we ask is when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers, and it allows you to enter deeply within the material. It's an ancient tradition. Let the record show that the defendant has given a $2,000 donation. That's pretty good. And now he's given a donation, and I say, do you believe in the power of prayer?
Definitely.
Okay, that's when I give him a card with the Ma mantra on it, say, I'm going to teach you this prayer from the Sanskrit language. It's meant to wake up pure love for God within your heart. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Fantastic. And now,
Krishna Krishna.
Jai.
That's for being so nice.
Thanks.
Where do you live?
I live in Denver.
All right. We need your social security number, bank account, addresses, and passcodes for all your... That's what you take your information, whatever information they would like to offer you,
to stay in contact. If you just get an email and then you have a system at home for taking care of people, it means you should be able to come home and immediately plug somebody into a system so that somebody calls them back, preferably you, and that they get a regular message in the mail, like at least once a week, and that you're able to invite them to various programs and things like that. And if they're very, very interested, you should take a very active interest in going back to their house and calling them up, talking to them, make them part of your personal circle. Okay? So everyone got it?
Yes.
Okay, so now from this side, whoever's got the book and facing the other person, make a few mistakes as you go through this, but I want you to present across to the other side, to the other person, and go through all the steps so that so you get the repetitions in, okay? And is everyone matched okay? All right. You come over here. You go over there. Yes. On your mark. Now remember to hang back. If you're holding your book in two hands right now, notice if you're holding the book in your two hands right now, you're telegraphing to somebody on the other side of the earth that I'm looking for you, I'm hunting you down, and I'm going to give you a book. Lean back. This is the first step. Put the book under one of your elbows. Put it under your elbow like this. But there you go. Lean back. Get it out of your hands. Cool down. Lean back. Look, watch me. Look. Cool as a cucumber. Hang back, everybody. I'm here. I'm not coming after you. You're going to have to come to me. I'm not coming after you. That's what you're saying by your body language. I ain't chasing you because I got something way more valuable than you do. I got something for you. And if you want it, you got to come see me. That's what you're saying right now, okay? Are you ready?
Yes.
Get in your cool as a cucumber stance. On your mark. Get set. Go. Okay, start wrapping it up if you're not done. A couple more minutes. Hare Krishna. If you can hear me, raise your hand. If you can hear me, raise your hand. How far along are... Is anybody not done one repetition yet? Has everyone finished... Anyone who has not finished one rep going one way yet, raise your hand. One? Going one way. Yeah, because I didn't say going the other way yet. But if you've already gone. So you got a little ways to go? Huh? Almost done. Let's hear. Go ahead. Okay, let's hear him work.
Let's do a prayer together. I say you repeat. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Krishna.
Hare, Hare.
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
Great, you were great. So all the best with the book, and let me take your contact information. You know, you are from the area, so we'll keep you in our database, and you know, you'll actually get updates from you. So what is your contact details?
And did you give her prasadam?
We actually have prasadam with us, sanctified food. Okay. So we have...
Let the record show that Avantika has introduced a cupcake.
We have, this is very nice food. You know, how the, actually you eat good quality food, which is, cooked with a good consciousness, then it actually affects your thinking too. So this is a piece of sanctified food you can take, and this is for you. Nice to meet you.
Haribol! Okay, go the other way now. If you haven't, then go the other way. If you're halfway through the other way, take about 7 more minutes to do the repetition the other direction, whoever hasn't presented. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Cool as a cucumber? You ready? On your mark? Get set? Go.
Thank you.
Okay. It's about 1 more minute to wrap up. Okay. If you can hear me, raise your hand. If you can hear me, raise your hand. Okay, thank you. If you're not done with the second rep, raise your hand. Have you done the second rep? You've been all the way through? So everyone got a chance to do it all the way through once, right? Okay. So now we'll have a few volunteers go around and collect the books, and we're going to sit back down just for a couple of minutes, because I have a couple of things to tell you and pass out, and we'll tell you about tomorrow also. Okay. Okay. 30. Okay. Please, everyone, sit down as efficiently and as quickly as possible. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So for everyone who has one of these red badges, we have a card. One of them has the summary of all the lines that you just learned, how to sell a Bhagavad Gita, and hold tight to this card, because on the other side it has all of the talking points that you'll need to sell a full set of Bhagavatams tomorrow. So it's all on this card. We have enough for all of those who have the red badge, the red cord badge. So anyone who has one of those can take one of these cards. And we also have a card that has the four laws of book distribution on it. And so everyone who's registered with one of these gets one of those also. So if you'd be kind enough to give them to the registered guests. And now we have time for a few questions. So please ask. Yes. Got to use the mic. Here it comes.
I was partnered with Shraddha Mataji, and we came to the point in the Bhagavad Gita book distribution, we're showing the picture of the men changing bodies. And we were wondering about how is this approached differently when approaching a Mataji, and you ask them, you know, where do you see yourself in this picture?
No. We just assume that's a representative for the... Yeah.
General thought.
The idea of changing the body. Otherwise, we'll need another template. I mean, that's come up before because we're on the campus. Ram Lakshan was talking to somebody, an African-American. He said, well, this is white people. I can't. The changing bodies. He was upset because the model in it was white. So, of course, we try to accommodate. In Africa, you know, they have changing body and that they use a different motif that relates to the local culture. We try to adapt as much as possible. But sometimes you just have to present it in a general way. What else? Pranahari? And we have some texts also.
What would, how would one work through if someone says, I don't have any donation to give? What can one say then?
Well, sometimes people don't have a donation to give because they don't have a donation to give, but they'd like to read the book. That's one scenario. Other people don't have a donation to give because they don't want to give a donation. And those are two different categories of people. So it comes up quite frequently. People say that I don't have any money. Or they say I don't have a donation. And oftentimes what that means is they're not sure how much to give because the confused mind says no and rejects. So oftentimes with those kinds of people, in the beginning, there's one thing you can do if that's happening a lot, is you can tell people what the general amount people or the specific amount you're asking from people. If they say, I don't have any money, you can always say, that's all right, just give what you can. Just give something. Because oftentimes that prompts them to say, okay, I'll give something. And then they end up giving more anyway. And then if it comes to the point where you've exhausted everything, then you can accept a cigarette lighter. I took one of those recently last year and have been using it ever since in my puja. A point is, asking for donation is a matter of engaging them in service, because when they give something happily and out of appreciation for the book, then it gives them the requisite kind of austerity that they've done in order to actually read and appreciate the book. So you have to make a quality judgment. If somebody says, I don't have any money, and they're also detached and they don't want to read the book, then you can ask them, well, are you interested in the book? Would you like to keep it? And at least 50%, maybe a lot more than that, the people will just say, no, I don't want it. You can give it to somebody else. And if you ask them, it's not taking it back. And in the beginning, when we're putting the book in front of them, we always use the word show. Please say show.
Show.
We don't say give. We say show. We're just showing these. It's an innocuous word. And at the end, if they decide that they, you know, don't have any money, they don't want the book, whatever, it's okay to take it back. And if you ask them, would you rather I give it to somebody else? Are you interested in reading the book? Sometimes somebody will say, I'm very, very interested in reading the book. I've been waiting for this my whole life, but I just don't have any money. Then at least the way we're organized locally is to say, oh, please keep it and read it. Because it's not that tit for tat, every single book we have to make up a certain amount, because it all comes out in the wash. The next person will give more, somebody else will give less, but we want to find a happy home for each book. And if a person's not interested and they don't want to give any money, then usually that means that they don't want to keep the book also, and you can just ask them, then they'll give it back. Did that help?
A lot of books for free, and it does come back donation-wise, but this point of austerity, them getting qualified to read the book through giving the donation.
Well, they're also taking their time. If they stop and listen to you and they spend some time
concentrating what they've interrupted their life on your behalf, and now they're taking their time, so that's also a donation. So you can also count that towards time served, and you know, accept that as the donation. But you know, you have to become sensitive and see that people are becoming that it's going to a good home. If you just wing the books out to people who don't like them, it's an offense. And who don't want them won't appreciate them. So we take time to qualify people and talk to them for a while, ask them for something in return. And I've resorted over the years to explaining exactly why I'm asking for the donation, and that is because it qualifies you to read the book. And oftentimes, I find more oftentimes than not, people really appreciate knowing that, why, what my motivation is, and telling them straightforwardly. And if you're fine, anyway, I think it sounds like it's an okay thing because it's all coming out in the wash for you, right? So no problem. A couple more? Yes. Is Prashadam ready? Yes? Okay.
Yes. Hare Krishna. Sometimes when we follow this, you know, method of showing the Bhagavad Gita, and they just stop in between by saying, oh, I believe in something else, I have a different faith. So what do we do? Should we continue with the, you know, what we want to show, or how differently should we approach the situation?
I have a different faith? Well, the main approach for people who have a contrary opinion is to accommodate. Honor their objection. Everyone say, honor their objection.
Honor their objection.
When you honor objections rather than resisting them, then there's a way in which you can continue offering. So for instance, if someone says to me, just as an example, if I show a Bhagavad Gita and I say, yeah, books on yoga and meditation show you how to get free from stress, but it turns out it's coming right back at me because he's a Buddhist, right? He's a Buddhist. Say, I'm really sorry, I'm sorry, here, let me give you the Buddha book and I'll give him another one. And I'll pick a different book and hand it to him. I honored the fact that he had rejected it. I didn't say, no, keep it. The more, whatever you resist, persists. And the more I'm pushing back, the more he's saying, I don't want it. I said, I'm a Buddhist. But if he says, I'm a Buddhist, and I say, oh, I'm really sorry, thanks, here. Silly me, here, take the Buddha book. And then you represent. Because this is, Buddha is in this book, by the way. We can show that. And so when objections come, we tend to honor them. So right in Toronto, I was in front of the museum, and one of the first people I met was a Christian. I said, here, a book on yoga and meditation shows you got it free from stress. And he said, I'm good. Well, if we had more people like you in the world, people of faith, it would be a better world to live in. It's people of faith like you that are keeping the world afloat. And he bought the book. He gave me $20. And it depends also if you hand the book over and it comes back. Like if the hand rejects it and he's pushing back at me, I always take it back. Because there's always another book you could give him. And once in Hong Kong at that harbor, I was distributing books, and I went through 7 books. On the 7th book, the person took, because I had a whole variety of books. And I'd hand, he'd hand back. I'd hand him the next one, hand it back. Next one, I just keep handing it back, a different book. And by the time I got to 7, he goes, okay, I'll give a donation. So honor the objection. I'm a Buddhist. Oh, beautiful. Here, I understand. Then you honor. And then it takes away the resistance. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
That's a general principle, but there may be specific cases too, and we can't cover all the specific cases right now, but I just wanted to give you a taste for the fact that there were obvious anomalies that will come up when you're presenting, and that's okay. What you want to do, what I recommend you do, is practice this template over and over again. Say it at home, say it in front of a mirror, practice going out and doing it over and over again until you get really natural at it, and you'll find that at least 3 times out of 10 people will take a Bhagavad Gita from you, at least. And if you're in Major League Baseball, which I don't think any of you are, but if you were, and you got 3 times out of 10 up to the plate and you got a hit, you would be earning, I don't know, somewhere like $20 million a year for that 3 out of 10. And same thing, if you can do 3 out of 10 people that you meet and they'll take a Bhagavad Gita, you're going to be in the major leagues of book distribution. And it will work if you just follow this template. Just follow and turn the switch off in the back of your head. So it's been an eventful evening that we're all coming together. We want to make a concerted effort for the rest of our lives to organize book distribution in such a way that it will have a noticeable impact on North America. We want this to happen. We want all of you to become leaders to help expand the teaching of book distribution all over the world so that more people can take it up, more literatures can go out. It will have a market effect on the society. It already is. It will have more. We're not doing enough. We need to do more. So thank you for coming and participating in this historic event. Thank you, Hare Krishna. And we thank everyone who joined us online tonight. Let's give a hand for all our... Thank you. Hare Krishna. Nachari Ar Marman, Nachari Ar Marman, Nachari Ar Marman, hey, Nachari Ar Marman, Nachari Ar Marman, Nachari Ar Marman, Nachari Ar Marman.